When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Skims or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and great marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. It's home of Shop Pay, the number one checkout in the world. You can use it to boost conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going through to checkout. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Allbirds uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/income.
Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Jason Nichols. First, I'll look at the timeline of the alleged crime, then move to my analysis. On Tuesday, April 7, 2026, at 9:03 a.m., a man named Jason Thomas Nichols appeared at the front door of a house on Burbank Court in Fairfield, California. This is 46 miles northeast of San Francisco. There is not a lot of information available about Jason's history at this point. He was born on September 2, 1996, so he was 29 years old. Jason lived on Colobe Drive, which is just a few hundred feet north of Burbank Court. Inside the house on Burbank Court was a pregnant woman and her 5-year-old son. The woman's husband, who I will refer to as John Doe, was away from the house. However, he was able to monitor the Ring doorbell camera remotely. Jason Nichols could be seen standing at the front door of the house wearing a black trench coat and a Demon Slayer anime t-shirt. John Doe said, "Hello," through the Ring doorbell camera. Jason responded, "Hello, can you open this door, please?" John Doe asked, "For what?" Jason said, "I just want to make sure that everything's okay. There seems to be something going on." John Doe asked, "What do you mean?" Jason said, "I don't know. I just figured I'd check on something." John Doe said, "I don't know what you want, man. Get out of my house." The response Jason offered to this comment was to kick the front door. He moved backward after kicking, stumbled down 2 steps, and said, "Open the door. Where's your daughter, man? Where's your daughter, man? Where's your daughter? Who's in there with you? Open this door. I'm breaking it down. Do you understand me? Is everyone in this house okay?" John Doe replied, "What? Everyone's okay. What do you want?" At this point, Jason knocked on the door and awkwardly stared at the doorbell camera for several seconds. John Doe said, "Can you leave my house, please?" Jason said, "Can you open the door, please?" John Doe replied, "You have nothing to do with my house. Can you leave my house?" Jason asked, "Do you know what my name is?" John Doe replied, "I don't know who you are. You don't belong in this neighborhood, that's for sure." Jason said, "This is my neighborhood, though." John Doe said, "Yeah, I live there. I don't know you." Jason said, "My name is Harry Dresden, mother blanker." It appears as though Jason was referring to the protagonist in the novel series, The Dresden Files. I will talk more about this in my analysis. Jason continued, "Open the door. This is my neighborhood. Open the blanking door." After several seconds of staring at the camera, he added, "Now, or I will blanking end you. Do you understand me?" After several more seconds of awkward staring, Jason grabbed the chain of a decorative bell mounted on a wall near the door. He ripped the chain off and used it to strike the door a few times, while repeatedly screaming, "Open the door." Jason moved his face close to the doorbell camera as he continued to scream, then appeared to attack the camera with his hands, like he was trying to remove it or to destroy it. By this point, John Doe had called 911 and was driving back to his house. Jason walked to the rear of the house and made entry through a sliding glass door. John Doe's wife and son were hiding in the garage. On a camera mounted near the front door and facing inside, Jason can be seen barging through the house, opening doors, presumably looking for someone. He then appeared to walk up the stairs toward the second floor. Jason can be heard screaming, "Where the blank is she?" John Doe arrived home, parked on the street, and ran into his house carrying a shovel. He confronted Jason, yelling, "Get the blank out of my house." The men engaged in a physical altercation, which was not captured on camera. Both of the men sustained head injuries. Jason continued to express concern that somebody was in danger inside the house. John Doe assured him that everything was fine and asked him if he was in the military. Jason said yes. John Doe asked him to step outside, and Jason complied. The police arrived at 9:18 a.m. and encountered Jason outside near the front door of the house. Jason Nichols was arrested and charged with assault with a deadly weapon, not firearm, likely to produce great bodily harm, threatening a crime with the intent to terrorize, burglary in the first degree, and vandalism. While Jason was in custody, a witness came forward and told the police about an encounter between Jason and their 5-year-old child. This happened on April 5, 2 days before the Burbank court incident. This is not John Doe's child, rather a different 5-year-old child. Based on the witness's statement, Jason was additionally charged with annoying or molesting a child under the age of 18. The court set Jason's bail at $250,000. At the time I'm making this video, Jason Nichols remains in jail. It appears as though he has become much more courteous during his time in custody. During one hearing, he told members of the media in the courtroom, "Thank you all for being here." Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one. One can make a good argument that Jason Nichols was experiencing some type of mental health episode, although there is no way to know for certain at this point. Jason identified himself as the fictional character Harry Dresden while he was at the front door of the house on Burbank Court. Perhaps he truly believed he was this character, like this was a delusion. Harry Dresden is the protagonist of the urban fantasy book series The Dresden Files, written by Jim Butcher. Harry is a Chicago-based professional wizard and private investigator who handles cases like homicides, missing persons, and curses. He is defiant, stubborn, and sarcastic. Harry maintains a personal code that involves protecting innocent people, especially victims who are vulnerable. The adventures Harry experiences involve demons, werewolves, vampires, and other supernatural entities. His tactics to contend with these adversaries and to solve cases include magic and detective work. In addition to the books, there was a one-season television show based on the Dresden Files, which aired on the Sci-Fi Channel in 2007. Item number two, there are several parallels between the character Harry Dresden and the alleged burglar, Jason Nichols. In the novels, Harry viewed himself as both an investigator and a protector. Jason was interested in searching the house on Burbank Court and wanted to know the location of a daughter. Presumably, Jason wanted to protect this daughter. This is who he was searching for. Harry lived in a world where supernatural phenomena were common. Jason acted as if he was detached from reality as well, somehow believing that he had the authority to break into a house that was not his. The adoption of the Harry Dresden identity could also indicate that Jason is grandiose and identifies with heroes. He views himself as misunderstood, isolated, and forced to operate outside normal systems. He can't wait for the authorities. He has to take action personally. Only he can save this mysterious and non-existent girl who is in danger. Item number three, the restraint exercised by John Doe in this case was impressive. Jason had not only made multiple threats, he banged on the door, beat the door with a chain, attacked the doorbell camera, and entered the house. The house was occupied by John Doe's pregnant wife and his child. It wasn't like Jason entered an empty house where he could not hurt anyone. If that was the case, most homeowners would simply wait for the police to arrive. John Doe was focused on getting Jason out of his house. He clearly did not want to harm the alleged burglar. He also kept the line of communication open and asked Jason if he was in the military. John Doe was looking for a way to end the confrontation peacefully. He tried to reason with Jason and tried to connect with Jason. Many people in John Doe's situation would not have been so gracious. If Jason had ended up in a different house, he could have easily found himself in a gunfire-facilitated threat removal scenario. Furthermore, if a homeowner had shot him, the shooting would have been justified. It was almost like Jason was asking to be killed. Item number four, what do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. It is reasonable to believe that mental health symptoms, including psychosis, may have played a part in Jason's actions. He believed with a high degree of conviction that the house on Burbank Court contained a girl who was in danger. This house appears to have been selected at random, but to Jason, that address must have had some significance. He believed he was somehow connected to that house, or he made some observation of that house that led him to believe there was danger. The other charge that Jason received for the alleged incident 2 days earlier may have been tied to the same delusion of protecting children. Jason viewed himself as a force of good who had the job of rescuing victims. He disconnected from reality and adopted the Harry Dresden identity. Consistent with this character, Jason was actively searching all over the place for circumstances that fit the narrative. He was not just reacting to the specific situation he thought was occurring at Burbank Court. Jason may have been a danger to anyone he encountered. It was just a matter of time before he was arrested. It's also worth considering that there may have been no delusion. Jason identified as Harry Dresden to justify what he already wanted to do. He was interested in finding a girl, and he needed some way to explain that desire in a non-criminal way. There are still many unanswered questions in this case. For example, did Jason have a history of mental health symptoms? Why did Jason select the house on Burbank Court? Who exactly was he looking for? Did he even know the identity of the person he was looking for? Why was he cryptic with John Doe? Why didn't Jason simply state precisely why he was there? And if Jason believed someone was in danger, why didn't he notify the authorities? I imagine that Jason's public defender will invoke a mental health argument, but it is likely Jason will be convicted of serious crimes either way. Anyone who just randomly enters a house and searches rooms while making threats needs to be kept separate from society regardless of their mental health struggles. I think the lesson learned in this case is about how hazardous it is when reality and fiction become confused. This can turn ordinarily positive motives, like saving someone, into harmful actions. In this case, there was no victim inside the house who needed to be rescued. The only danger came from the person who believed there was. Those are my thoughts on the case of Jason Nichols. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.